You're listening to Band Geek with Richie Castellano on the Riotcast Network. Riotcast.com.
Hello there. Come here, my little friend. Don't be afraid. This is Band Geek. I'm a little delirious right now. I've been mixing this podcast all day, and I'm very silly. So let's pull together. Let's focus, and we'll get through this intro. Everything's gonna be all right. Okay. Serious face. This is Band Geek episode 16 with John Michelli. John's amazing. If you don't know who John is, he is the current drummer for Meatloaf. He's also played with a bunch of other people. He's played on a My Chemical Romance album. He played on an Adam Lambert album. He's been a member of Rainbow. And he was in Blue Oyster Cult. So he has quite a few credits. He's an incredible drummer and a hilarious guy. And I'm very excited for you to hear this episode. It's going to be awesome. It was really long. We actually did this at John's studio at his house. So we have to thank John for letting us use his space. He has a beautiful studio, and he has his drums all mic'd up. It's really awesome. So thank you, John, for doing that. So if things sound different, it's because we're using an actual live drum kit with a bunch of mics, and that's very cool. Let's take care of some business. Guys, thank you so much for going to our Amazon link. That's at www.riotcast.com/bandgeek. And at the top, there's an Amazon banner. And when you click that, it goes to the regular Amazon page, except when you make a purchase, a small percentage of that goes to support the show. And it's really been helping us a lot. Keep doing that. Keep going on iTunes and rating the show and leaving comments and reviews and all that stuff. That helps our overall rating, and that's great. Also, please check out our sponsors, Audio Technica. That's audio-technica.com. They make everything that you can possibly need for audio. They make headphones, microphones, cables, and they have everything from beginner and, you know, consumer to high-end pro gear. So please check them out. They're a great company. Let's take care of some Blue Oyster Cult dates. I will be playing in Hinckley, Minnesota at the Grand Casino Hinckley. That's on September 12th. Then on the 13th, we're in Marion, Indiana at Brandt's 169 Harley-Davidson. You got to understand something. I've been doing this all day, and my freaking eyesight's blurry, and I can't even see the screen. All right, Brandt's I-69 Harley-Davidson. Then on the 20th of September, we're in Austin, Texas, at Circuit of the Americas. And then on September 27th, Valencia, California, at the Santa Clarita Valley Music Festival. So come out and see some Blue Oyster Cult dates if we're in your neighborhood. All right, I'm going to stop talking now because I'm just going to keep going. This is, like I said, this is a two-parter. I might have said that. Did I say that? Okay. If I didn't say that, this is a two-parter because we couldn't pack this much awesomeness into one episode. So enjoy. Are you guys ready to podcast?
Yes.
Whatever that means.
John, you know you're the guest of honor. This is like, remember the Dean Martin roast? This is nothing like that. Wow. Nothing.
You could be Phyllis Diller.
Yeah. Or Ruth Buzzy.
Ruth Buzzy, definitely. Or the old guy that gets hit with the pocketbook from Ruth Buzzy.
I love him.
Is everybody ready to go?
Yeah, man.
We're already going.
Hey, do you know, did you teach John the tune, the Band Geek tune? Wayne's World, party time, excellent.
No. All right, ready?
Yeah.
Welcome to Band Geek. I'm Richie Castellano. With me is Andy Ascalise.
Hello.
And we have a returning guest, Danny Miranda.
Oh,
hi.
Returning, first returning guest.
That's right, first returning guest. Very good. And we're actually not in the Band Geek studio today.
On location.
We're on location. We're in the field.
Mobile.
Today, our guest is someone very special. The first time I ever saw this person, I think I was 12 years old, and I was watching VH1, and I was watching Meatloaf, and I noticed that the guy in the center of the stage was wearing a Yankees hat and was just completely laying it down. And I didn't even care about Meatloaf or anybody else in the band. I was just looking at the drummer right front and center, kicking ass. And our special guest today is John Michelli. Was it a Yankee hat?
Was
I right?
12?
I was 12.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe it was Bergie.
No, I think it was you. Did you ever wear a hat?
I guess so.
Yeah. I think it was, it might have been on like one of the Unplugged things or something like that. It was when I Would Do Anything for Love was really popular. They had this one live performance playing.
All the storytellers, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, maybe. Right? Yeah, and whatever it was. And I remember you were dead center and it was just awesome. And I was always.
Oh, it was storytellers.
Just, I was always focused on you. The way they had you like placed in the stage, you were like right in the middle, right? Kind of like right over Meat's shoulder.
Yeah. That's where a drummer should be, right?
Yeah.
Like another drummer from Port Jefferson wanted.
No, I mean, it's easier to kind of do what you have to do there.
So welcome to the podcast. And thank you for letting us into your home to do this.
Thank you for coming. And thank you for the cannolis.
Shout out to
the
Alfonso's in Staten Island.
And sugar-free cookies.
Yes, because...
Should we have Diet Coke with those cannolis?
Danny has diabetes.
Oh.
That's not even funny. It's just, like, remember the commercial? Do you remember the commercial, Danny? Was it Wilfred Brimley? If you have diabetes...
Oh, the guy on the horse with the mustache.
Yes, that's the guy.
Remember what Family Guy did to him?
No.
Hi, it hurts me when I pee.
Oh.
Shit, I think I just scratched my glass.
All I know is the email thread that was floating around with four Italians. It mainly had to do with the food that we were going to eat today.
Yeah, we didn't even talk.
This has nothing to do with the music.
We didn't talk about the songs we were going to play until 2 days ago. The weeks before, it's like, you know, I got some sausage cooking. I got a nice baked ziti for you. I got some meatballs. You know, someone bring the cannolis. There's no talk of music whatsoever.
Leave the gun, take the cannolis.
Danny calls me up and he goes, I can't make it there till 11:30. Why? I have to go to this bakery, and they don't open till a certain time to get the cannolis. Then I got to drop one back home for my mom.
Then they weren't ready for me.
The no, nerve.
Freaked out.
It's all right. We had backup cannolis.
Yeah, I brought backup cannolis. You brought cannolis,
those
and I brought cannolis.
Those were warm-ups, actually.
I needed a slice of pizza just to hold me over until the cannolis were ready.
Oh, God. This is...
Once again, this actually, is
this is Guinea Fest.
The other day we're doing a meatloaf gig in Vegas, and a friend of mine brought cannolis down. So the security guard delivers them seriously seconds before we go on stage. So now, in between songs, we're all running off the stage and we're eating cannolis. And me and Danny eating them. I get back on stage, I start playing, I look down, I got powdered sugar all over my black shirt.
I'm playing like this, licking my fingers.
Am I lying?
Do you have a special tech for bringing out cannolis? Cannoli tech.
It's a cannoli tech.
It comes out on a silver platter. And the singer, remember Stacy, they never had a cannoli. And during the set, she goes, I can't have it now. Give me one when we're done. Oh. And then she goes, listen, whenever you guys run into cannolis, you got to save one for me.
Oh, my gosh.
We were doing a Blue Oyster Cult gig the other day, and I was like, I never get hungry while I'm playing because I'm always, you know, preoccupied with what I'm doing. But I got, like, really hungry, and during Jules' drum solo, I ran back to the trailer and I ate in the middle of the set. And I come back on stage, and was it you that busted me, or was it Andy? Or no, Andrew. Andrew busted me. I come back on stage, and I'm chewing, and we're playing Godzilla. And I'm like, every time I look at the audience, I'm smiling with my mouth closed. And then I turn around to look at Andrew, and I'm chewing, trying to swallow the food I just shoved down my throat.
Keep playing, Jules. He's not back.
He's not back. What? Are you leaving the podcast?
You're right there, Danny. Right now, he reminds me of
the rest of my case.
The guy from Seinfeld there.
Well,
Where are the rest of the cases?
Who, Kramer?
Kramer, in the house.
What do you need?
Running the house.
Do you want a cloth?
You need something to clean your glasses?
Here, I got one.
You got a cloth? I got a cloth.
This is great.
This is the show.
Keep going. We edit down, man.
We don't edit down. Whenever. Oh, there it is. It's running. Oh, he's got it.
There's some microfiber because these.
Oh my God.
Danny is frantically running around the room, looking for a microfiber cloth for his glasses.
He got cannoli cream on him. He says it actually cleans him very well.
So we're in Long Island right now, which is the rock capital of the East Coast, I would say. Would you say that's accurate? Just with the sheer number of musicians to come out of Long Island.
A lot.
But we got obviously you two guys.
Blue Oyster Cult.
Blue Oyster Cult. Eric's a Long Island guy.
Actually, Donald came over here. I filled in for you guys one day, and we had a rehearsal. And Donald actually went to the church right across the street here.
Really?
Yeah, so he stayed over that night. And he was driving around town just looking at all, you know, oh, this used to be this and that.
Wow.
But they only had horses back then, I think.
I've been the well was dry.
I've been looking forward to this podcast since I came up with the idea for the show.
And the earth cooled. The dinosaurs, they got too fat and they died.
Donald listens to this show, asshole. You're gonna regret that.
You know, I tried to audition for the band when I was in first year of college.
Really?
Yes, and I was trying to get in touch with Steve Shank at the time. And I was a little bratty kid, and they needed a drummer. And I was calling and calling, and he would never answer the phone. Never. So finally, it was kind of funny, you know, years and years later, playing with them and meeting Steve Shank.
And years later, he still doesn't answer the phone.
They listen to this podcast. What are you doing?
He's going to have to edit half this shit.
Oh, my God. Danny, Eric was pissed at you.
Why?
Because you remember when we were talking about, like, the importance of knowing music theory and stuff?
Yeah.
Eric goes, Danny was talking about me on your show. I was like,
no,
I was like, no, he wasn't. He goes, he was saying, you know, you need to know music theory, and I don't know any of that stuff, and he thinks I'm a jerk. I was like, no, he doesn't.
Are
it's like
serious?
He's not talking about you. He's
Eric,
not...
I would never do that. I love
Eric. Eric, we love you. We all love you,
Eric.
Do you know music theory, Danny?
No. I'm talking about these flighty songwriters and stuff that write their, you know, they're writing their own stuff, and they can't explain
that
their
sounds
own
like Eric
stuff.
To me. What are you talking about?
No, Eric is really great. Eric finds a way to explain things in a language that people can understand what he's thinking of, because Eric is very musically inclined, even if he doesn't speak the same kind of language at times. He's great.
I was not talking about you.
I love you, man.
And he's got good ears. He has good ears. He always knows when something's up. I remember when Rudy joined the band. And Rudy had to learn all the songs really quick to play bass, and he wasn't quite getting the bass line right for, I think, Burn For You. And Eric goes, Richie, go over there and tell Rudy what the bass line is. I said, get the fuck out of here. I said, I'm not telling Rudy so-and-so how to play bass. I said, forget it. Oh, but God. I have a similar story with you, John. You filled in once for Jules, and you said, look, I haven't played these songs in a while. Any cues you can give me, anything I'm doing weird, just let me know. I'll take it. Like, just help me out. I'm like, no problem. So after sound check, we do Burning For You. And I said, John, you know, the verse for Burning For You is on the ride. You go, look, you don't have to tell me that. You're not micromanaging what I'm doing over here. Just if I miss a section or something.
The one comment. The right hand really belongs on that crash.
You know, when you do that fill, you're starting with the left hand, and, you know, Jewel starts it with the right hand. So,
and wear a suit and tie.
Wear a suit and tie. Now, you taught Jules, didn't you?
Not really. I filled in for a teacher that was teaching Jules at the time. And
okay.
But I met Jules when he was probably 8 years old.
Wow.
You know, I was filling in for a teacher when I was going to college, and that's how long I know Jules and his dad. And actually, my first studio, we had Jules, his dad, and his grandfather came and recorded a song.
Really?
Yeah, three generations in one shot.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So let's talk about how you got started. When did you start playing, or when did you get interested in music?
My father's a musician, was a musician.
What did he play?
He, accordion, guitar, piano.
Oh, he got all the gigs.
Yeah, he was like one of those guys.
Yeah.
But back then, accordion was actually popular. Not like today, right?
Well, my dad, my grandfather used to say he wanted my dad to learn accordion because the accordion players could do solo gigs. and no one else could.
Yeah.
But so your dad played accordion, piano, and guitar.
Yeah, he had a teaching practice, and he gigged on the weekends.
Okay.
So I told him I wanted to play drums, and he said, no, you have to play some sort of keyboard instrument for 2 years first.
Wow.
So he gave me an accordion. I played for 2 years, and I wrote it down on my desk. And after 2 years, I put the accordion in front of his bedroom, and I banged on a door. And I was like, 2 years is up. And he said, fair enough, and he went and bought me a drum set that day.
Was it to the minute?
It was probably a minute
7:35.
Actually, I remember my mom going, don't wake him up too early. He gigged last night, you know?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, does anyone else in your family play?
My brother and my sister sings. My brother works for Steinway.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was always in a band with my brother, like three-piece bands. He played organ with left-hand bass.
Wow.
And so basically through high school, that's how I kind of made money. We were playing gigs all the time.
Did your dad teach you accordion?
Yes.
Oh, man, how was that, taking lessons from your dad?
No, it was a group lesson, so it was totally cool.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my father was cool, so it was...
I tried to take... When I first wanted to play guitar, I told my dad, I want to play guitar. He's like, all right. So he picks up a guitar and he goes, here, that's an E chord, you try. No explanation, just says, here, you go. And I went like, he's like, okay, we're getting you lessons. We're getting your teacher. And that was the extent of how much he was willing to teach me. But
Did he teach you how to drive too?
My father, we talked about this in the podcast before. He wouldn't allow me to drive like him because he drives like a maniac. So he said, when you learn how to drive, you're going to go in the car with your mother. He goes, because I don't want you driving like me.
So he taught Danny how to drive.
He did?
Oh, I'm sure your father taught Danny how to drive.
I thought you meant your father taught Danny how to drive.
I'm the best driver.
Have
right
you
now.
Ever driven with Danny?
I haven't. I've been in the car with him, and that's equally infuriating when he's in the passenger.
We drove back from the Hamptons.
Yes. And we were high, but not on drugs. We were high on sugar.
Jellyfish.
So we had gummy bears and Swedish fish and combos.
And I'm watching Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, yeah, Curb Your Enthusiasm.
You see Andy's look on his face looking at you. We're back to food again.
We are back to food.
It's okay. Well,
it's all right. It's all right. It's always
bad. You know what? When you're Italian and when you're a touring musician, food centers around your day.
And you're driving to the end of Long Island.
Yeah. But, and the story I told last time on the show was that I'm driving and I'm getting really tired, and Danny has his iPod plugged in and we're listening to Sarah McLachlan. And I'm saying, I said,
oh, the Lilith Fair.
I said, when did this car ride turn into the Lilith Fair? And he had one like acoustic singer songwriter chick after the next.
I said, I'm into singers who live in Vermont.
I said, can I hear some drums, please? Like, how about some Maiden? I was like, I'm dying here. We have a 4-hour drive home, please. But okay, so when you decided to learn drums, did you get a teacher?
Not right away. I just was...
Punting?
Yeah, just hitting... I thought I invented hitting the hi-hat with a stick instead of your foot. You know, one of those.
So how long did you go? Now, would you say that you picked it up quickly or did you flail a little bit?
Oh, I definitely fell right on my face. You know what? My dad was always playing in the house and my brother, so I just had to learn songs right away.
Right.
So technique probably wasn't too... good, but I made it through songs.
Okay.
And then finally, when he saw I really had interest, I started taking lessons.
Now, would you say, this is something I'm always curious about with drummers, there are, obviously you can learn a craft through practice and lessons on stuff, but there's always, it always helps if you have like an innate ability. Would you say that, like how when you started, do you remember how your timing was? I mean, was that something you always sort of had?
Yeah, I think you're born with that.
Wow.
You know, I don't think you really learn that. I teach a lot, and that's the one thing that I can't teach is how to play along to a song. Or, you know, you get a kid up and you get them to march to the song, you tap on their shoulder, you try to you know, install that rhythm, and it's just, you're kind of born with that.
Right.
I mean, I'm getting paid to play beats that everybody in the world could play, but for some reason, I guess the way I play it, they like it.
Right.
So, and that's what kind of separates people, you know?
Now, looking back, would you say that your dad's advice to learn a pitched instrument first was helpful? Or did you wish you could have just started on drums?
I look at it two ways. I go, wow, I could be 2 years better on drums, right? But yes, it was totally helpful. Totally. But I went to college for 2 years for music, and that's when it really helped me. Oh, I went to a local college. You know.
Okay, and what kind of classes did you take in college for music?
You know, theory and piano, you know, 101 and the whole thing. You know.
Now, do you have a music degree?
No. I was on my second year, and a band I was playing with was starting to happen. And my father just looked at me, and he said, you know what? Sometimes these chances come around once. You got to do what you got to do.
Right. And right. The other thing, did you do marching band at all?
Yeah.
Okay, because the name Band Geek of the show comes from the fact that all of us did marching band.
Oh. See, I did marching band, but I never played in the marching band because I played football.
Oh, really? So,
yeah.
So
I would rehearse with them, but then.
Oh, so you would jam with them and then go play football?
I would jam with them and then go play. I was on the football team, so.
Wait, you willingly played with the marching band? I just did it to get my fat ass out of gym.
I played cymbals in the marching band.
You did?
Did you?
Yeah, get out of class.
Did you still have to go to gym?
No, I had nothing to do with that. I got out of class when the marching band would rehearse.
Oh, what class? Do you remember?
No, it was a class that wasn't music.
So you played cymbals. I played, at our school, the first year, all the freshmen had to play bass drum if you weren't like a brass or woodwind player. So just because, give all the, you know, it's funny, give the smallest 14 and 15 year old kids the biggest instrument to carry. You have all these like gigantic 18 year olds with like cymbals and snare drums or a triangle, and here's all these little freshmen holding the bass drums like getting crushed under the weight of it,
paying your dues.
Yeah, exactly. And then I think because I wasn't, they didn't know what to do with me because I played guitar in every class, so they said, okay, well, we're not gonna have you play guitar, so you can play bass drum. I said, all right. And then after that, a senior who played the bells graduated, and I said, "I got the bells." He said, "You play the glockenspiel?" I'm like, "Yeah, I can play the glockenspiel, sure." It's horrible, but anyway, it was nice not having to go to gym. Although looking back, it might have been beneficial if I went to gym a little more and play a little less music.
Where are those cannolis?
Pass the cannolis.
We got to go get the second round of them.
So what was the first band that you toured with at a college?
Semi-tour was a band, The Cut, called it. It used to be called Rough Cut, and then they called it The Cut.
Now, who was in that band?
Tommy Hendrickson and John Roggio.
Okay, now, was that all original?
It was 75% original. And then, you know, they would kind of blend it for the clubs.
What kind of covers did you do back then?
Ugh, Motley Crue and, you know, stuff like that. It's definitely Hair Band days. And
awesome.
Tommy's with Alice Cooper now.
Oh, okay.
And John Roggio is, he fills in quite a bit for that Rock of Ages in New York.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So how long did you do that for?
I think I was in that band for probably 4 years. And then I went from there to a band called Marcello.
Oh, yeah.
Which was Pepe Marcello's son.
Cool. Tell me about that.
A lot of fun. You know, we got signed to CBS Records, and I think it was Epic. And, you know, we had a video out on MTV, and that's when MTV was something, and we reached number 4 for whatever it was, 2 months. And, yeah, we toured with Extreme and different bands, Winger and all that. And then Pearl Jam came out.
That, you know, I was also listening to I was starting to get into rock around that time. That was like what, 91, 92, around there?
Exactly.
And I just started, that was like the first time I heard Queen and the first time I heard, you know, all these other bands. And I'm just starting, because when I started, I just heard all like the Elvis stuff because I could play it. You know, when you're a kid, you know, 3 chords. That's the difference between, I think, the way a lot of us learned is that when you learn 3 chords, you say, oh, let's see what I can do with these 3 chords. And we're now, a lot of the students that I had are like, I don't care about chords. I want to learn how to play this song. I'm not interested in the progression from beginner to, you know, intermediate to expert. It's like, it's always like, get me right to where I want to go immediately. Do you find that's true for drum students?
It's a lot easier for a drum student. You know what I mean? Because if you play... Wow, that could be my phone all the way over there. Could somebody look at that?
Can you get it, Andy?
You know, sorry. I could have been playing something great, and that interrupted.
I think that's my bad.
That's all right. Well, we can pause it.
The thing about getting is one of the Sterling classics and have the finish removed.
So, Yeah. Now, do you feel that like sometimes your students want to like circumvent the fundamentals?
That's cute.
Is that like circumcision?
I hate you, Danny. I don't know why I'm friends with you.
Danny's, by the way, listening at home, Danny's cleaning his glasses for the 30th time. No joke.
Yeah, absolutely. You know.
Yeah. So you're playing. So then you're playing with Marcello, and you're doing rock. Mm-hmm. And then the grunge movement happens, and then if
we're
you're...
in doing our second album as that was happening, and the first producer didn't work out, so they brought in this guy David Prater, who was doing all the big rock albums then. And as we were working on that, the grunge started happening big, and all the companies just dropped all these bands.
Oh man!
And we were on the list of, you know, I guess they kept the top whatever 10 bands on their list and said, you know, see you to everybody else.
Jeez. So now, did that band, did you guys try to continue that, or did it break up? Or
actually, at that point, Meatloaf had the same management as Marcello,
mm-hmm.
and we were doing a lot of opening up for Meatloaf. And at the time, Chuck Berge was playing with them. And Chuck had left to go play with BOC.
So he left Meatloaf to play at BOC?
Yeah, Meatloaf was doing an album. He was doing Bad Outta Hell 2.
Right.
And it was taking forever, of course, you know. And yeah, he was playing with BOC at the time. And I started filling in for Chuck with Meatloaf.
Okay. So was Chuck still, was Chuck doing like double duty while he was in BOC, like still playing? Now, was Meatloaf touring, or was he just doing studio stuff?
At that time, I just did, I filled in for a month.
Okay.
In Germany for Chuck.
Okay.
And then there was a big break, and then Meatloaf was just, you know, called and said, you know, do you want to come out? And I think Chuck was doing other gigs at the time too.
Right.
He was out with Enrique, and you know, he was out with a lot of bands at that time.
The Long Island community, we were just discussing this, is sort of incestuous with the how many people swap around from bands. Like, you know, you, Chuck, Bobby, you know what I mean? There's all these, like, you know, people that flip around roles in the same bands. It's pretty cool. And they're all great. I think there's definitely a Long Island feel, especially with drummers. Like, you can hear it, and it's sort of like coming back from, I guess, Carmine. You know, everybody's sort of, he's like everybody's grandfather.
Hopefully not.
He'll never be on the show now.
Eric's going to play that for Carmine.
He would. You know what Richie said? Oh, really? Fuck you, Richie. But okay, so you're playing in Meatloaf. You want to do a, should we do a Meatloaf song now?
Sure.
All right.
How about Bad Outta Hell?
He knew I didn't learn that song.
It's like the...
How about Paradise?
That one,
I know Paradise.
Just a two-second song.
We've done it four times, but we can do a little bit if you want.
What key? I was kidding.
I'll do a little bit. I mean, we did it on the podcast before, but who cares? I'll do it again. We did it with Danny. We can do it in C. Let me get the lyrics up. Yeah, last time we had Danny on, and... It was pretty epic, and we did a lot of different things. But we pulled a Meatloaf. We didn't rehearse a Meatloaf song, and then we
still sounded like a Rush song because I was using your Rickenbacker.
Yeah, that's right. He was using my Rickenbacker bass, and it sounded like
closer
Rush
to the heart. Yeah, that's right.
All right. So key of C. Now, is C the key you do it in now?
We do it in D flat.
Okay. Do you play it in D flat?
No,
or
whatever is comfortable for you.
No, but I'm asking.
I do play it in D flat.
So you do a standard bass, just tuned.
Yeah.
Okay.
All yeah, right. I got, you know, they couldn't decide. It's up, it's down, and like, you know what? You guys decide. Doesn't matter. I mean, I don't need to play open strings, unlike the guitars do. They have to, you know, use a different tuning.
Right.
Plus, they're weak.
Oh my God! Okay.
It's like drinking decaf.
So, if you've listened to Danny Miranda, part two. That is, we've done this song already, but if this is your first time, surprise, new song.
Do a different song.
No, this is one of the two Meatloaf songs I know. You bet your ass I'm doing this song.
How about Took the Words?
Let's do this one first.
Oh, yeah?
Because I actually practiced that one, so that'll be like a, that'll sound better after I bangle this one. Okay. You know, we do a little bit of this in BOC during the drum solo, like, because Cass was in Meatloaf, oh. So we do it in D, so it's going to be totally screwed. Okay. Oh, let me do it again. I had the wrong sound, sorry. Gonna edit that.
Can you lower my headphones a little bit? It's really loud.
Danny. So we're setting up, and Richie goes, "We need separate headphones. You know, headphone mixes." And I go, "Why? What? That's crazy." He goes, "No, Danny's coming over." Now I understand.
Is that better?
Thank you. That's good. Thank you. No, change it back.
I hate you. All right. Ready, guys?
Well, I remember every little thing as if it happened only yesterday. Parked by the lake, but there was not another car inside. And I never had a girl looking any better than you did. And all the kids in school, they were wishing they were me that night. And our bodies are all so close and tight. Never felt so good, it never felt so right. And we're glowing like the metal on the edge of a knife. Glowing like the metal on the edge of a knife. Come on, hold on tight. Come on, hold on tight.
Oh, it's cold and lonely in the deep dark night. I can see paradise by the dashboard light.
Ain't no doubt about it, we were doubly blessed. Cause we were bad.
This sounds too good, I want to keep going. Sorry.
Baby, don't you hear my heart? You got it drowning out the radio. And I've been waiting so long for you to come along and have some fun. And I gotta let you know, no, you're never gonna regret it. So open up your eyes, I got a big surprise. It'll be alright, I wanna make a motor run. And now our bodies are all so close and tight. Never felt so good, it never felt so right. And we're glowing like the metal on the edge of a knife. Glowing like the metal on the edge of a knife. Come on, hold on tight. Come on, hold on tight.
Stop right there. I gotta know right now.
love me forever? Do you need me? Will you never leave me? Will you make me so happy for the rest of my life? Will you take me away? Will you make me your wife? Do you love me?
Let me sleep on it. Let me sleep on it. I'll give you an answer in the morning. Let me sleep on it, babe.
Hey, you guys play this song pretty good.
Well, let me sleep on it. I'll give you an answer in the morning. Baby, baby, let me sleep on it. Hey, I don't play this, let me sleep on it. You an answer in the morning.
I got no right now. Will you love me? Will you love me forever? Do you need me? Will you never leave me? Will you make me so happy for the rest of my life? Will you take me away? Will you take me away? I gotta know right now. Before we go any further, do you love me? Will you love me forever?
Let me sleep on it.
Will you love me forever?
Let me sleep on it.
Will you love me forever?
I couldn't take it any longer. I found I was crazy till the feeling came above me like a tidal wave. I started burying all my God and all my mother's grave. I would love you till the end of time. I swore I would love you till the end of time. So now I'm waiting for the end of time. So hurry up and arrive. Cause if I gotta spend another minute with you, I don't think that I can really survive. I'll never break my promise or forget my vow. But God only knows what I can do right now. Praying for the end of time is all that I can do. Praying for the end of time so I can end my time with you.
What's the matter, Danny?
His glasses are smudged.
No. No, the bass, whatever you guys did, the bass is like five times too loud.
Oh, seriously. Is it peaking? No.
That's why. Remember you guys turned it up? It's killing me.
All right, can you lower the bass? He's in six. And he's aux three.
Sorry.
Is that better?
Still loud.
He's aux 3 in channel 6.
It's a little better. Can you make it a little lower? I've never said that before.
We have it on recording now.
Okay, yeah, just a hair louder. Thank you. I'm sorry, it was hard to...
Oh, no, it's all right.
Great tune, though, huh?
Yeah, that's
And you know
an
who
awesome
the
song.
Original bass player was for that song?
Yes.
How awesome is that?
Yes, it is. I was asking him a bunch of questions about it. And he said that they did all those songs. He said they did all the songs in one take.
In one take?
He said all those recordings are one take. He said no, they did a few takes, but there's no edits or punches. He said because they weren't sure from the sound of it, they didn't think they were going to be hits, those songs, because they sounded so off the wall.
And he was a teenager still, right?
He said he was 20 when he did that.
It's almost a teenager.
But I think we're going to have to maybe do some trickery and have Anne-Marie come back and sing those girl parts for me.
No, actually, that was right. Actually have her sing the guy parts. It seems that it like that's what this show's corpse about.
Oh, my God. So, okay, so after, so you're subbing with Meatloaf. Now, did Chuck keep coming back to do the gigs, or was it his
you
gig
know,
still?
You know, it was kind of up in, yeah, it was his gig.
Okay.
And then I don't know what went down. I think he actually had another gig at the time.
Okay.
But nobody knew how big Meatloaf was going to come back at the time.
Bat
he was playing colleges when I was filling in.
Right. Wow.
You know, and Bat 2 had come back, but he was Meatloaf with that band, that lineup. Oh my gosh!
When we were opening up, Oyster Cult.
It was Chuck. It was this guy Mark Alexander on keyboards. It was Pat Thrall on guitar. And here we are, some, you know, rock band coming up before him, just going, oh, my God. Night after night, it was just getting creamed. They were just, you know, top notch all the way across the board, you know?
So we have another Meatloaf song planned, but I know later on in the story, you go back to Meatloaf. So I'm going to save it for that. Okay. see how I'm doing this? I have structure planned.
Yeah,
I got a plan. So after that, what was the next move for you?
I think I had filled in for Chuck again with Blue Oyster Cult in that break.
There's that incestuous Long Island thing again.
And then I filled in for Chuck again with Ritchie Blackmore.
Okay.
So Chuck was really great with me. He was just recommending me for things that he couldn't, you know, he didn't have time for or he couldn't do at the time, you know.
So Chuck was your John Michelli.
Yeah.
Danny, where are you going?
Hanging out over here.
Why am I friends with you? There's no microphone on you now.
It's too cold.
It's about him.
Okay.
Let's talk about Danny.
Let's talk about Danny while he can't defend himself.
Actually, you know, the first drummer that actually hooked me up with a break was Bobby Rondinelli.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the time I was playing in his band Crosswinds, and it really was a cover band. It wasn't an original band at the time. And that's when Rough Cut was looking for somebody. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Bobby at the time told him, oh, you got to use John. It didn't matter. As soon as he said that, he opened the door for me to get in that band. And Bobby had lived across the street from me at the time.
Once he opened that door,
it kind of went from, yeah, I did a few.
Wow.
Yeah. In his robe.
I was hoping you were going to say that.
His robe.
I didn't want to go there.
No,
and I was hoping he would do it. So it's okay for me to talk about his robe.
I think at the time, Bobby was playing with Rainbow.
Okay.
When I was studying with him.
Now, was Bobby's robe just too short?
just a little too open.
was it just too short?
You guys do realize the robes are all the right height. It's just as we get older, things get lower to the ground. You know that.
We were staying in Japan, in Tokyo, and we had these kind of dorms. And like I'm sleeping on the couch because there were bugs in my room. And I wake up like 4 in the morning, and there's Bobby walking in with the robe. Sits down, lights up a cigarette, and I'm going, oh, now I'm never going to sleep. I almost want to go back in the room with the bugs. That robe.
So.
Hi, Bobby.
When did you guys meet, you and Danny?
Oh, man. I was playing, I think, with Denise, right? Denise Given Band or something?
No, the wedding band.
Oh, that is the first time. I think Danny was dating this girl that was singing in a wedding band that I was playing with. And he had come down, but we never played together at that point, I don't think. And Danny was doing sound for us every once in a while because we were stuck for a sound guy, you know? And he was nice enough to do that. And
Meatballs and Clams, that was the first time we played.
That's right.
Is that the band name?
Yeah.
It was. Tell them about your idea.
At first, it was Meatballs and Clams. It was Steve Buslow, myself, Pat Thrall, Chasm. Oh, actually, yeah, I think it was
Eric
Chasm,
and Donald, right?
And Eric.
Right.
So it was kind of a mixture of both bands, so we called it Meatballs and Clams. And we did a couple gigs in the city, and then Petrelli had joined us.
It's funny, it's clever.
It is clever.
John was kind of playing with both bands. You were subbing for Blue Oyster Cult.
So it was a lot
during
of fun.
This point, now, so that's when you first started playing with BOC. What year is this? Is this like in the mid-90s?
Yeah, I got to be honest. It's all a blur.
That was 90.
It's probably like 91.
Were you in 90? BOC at that point, Danny?
No. So
that's that John
was
Rogers?
91.
Yeah, John. When I joined BOC, it was John Rogers.
Okay. And was Zvonchek or was that Alan on keyboards?
Alan.
Okay.
An awesome person.
Yes. We definitely miss Alan. Let's do a BOC song. Do you like any BOC songs?
You know what my best BOC story is? One day. No, it'll be clean. Did you see Andy? Andy's always like, oh my gosh, here he goes again.
Nudity and Bobby?
My first trip with them, I get in a car with them. Well, I mooned him, but that's another story.
I wasn't in the van. Don't look at me. I'm not your your partner in crime.
Eric was telling me how he took race car lessons and stuff like that. He was driving, and Alan's just shaking his head, shaking his head. We get in front of the hotel, and he goes into this big U-turn, and you know those big cement pots? Bang, he hits it, the thing just shattered. And Alan goes, and there you go. I always remember that. I always remember that.
Eric listens to every show. Eric, we do love you.
You hit the column at the on the New York State Thruway when we stopped at the rest stop to get a Nathan's hot dog. Bang! He hit the flower pot.
I should have called Eric to come here today.
Actually, you should have.
I don't think he'd show up after this.
You know what we did to him on the second day? Is we were
I know the story. Please tell it.
Do you know the story?
Yeah, please tell it.
We all get dressed at the hotel. And I'm just following along, and we jump in the cars, and we go. We're at a toll booth. I mean, there's no arm. If there's no arm, you just go through, right? So it's a nickel. And I'm like, anybody have a nickel? No, because we have our show clothes on. So we're telling Eric, go through. Eric, don't worry about it. Go through. And he's like, no way. I'm going to just go through. He goes through. That night, we get back to the hotel. Donald calls me up. We both go downstairs. We go, okay, we go to the front desk. We give the lady $20. We go, call him up. Tell him the cops just came and gave him a ticket because he went through that toll booth.
Oh, no.
So now Eric's on the phone with all of us. Hey, we got a ticket. We're like, boom, hang up on him. And then I see him call Donald. What do you mean we? Boom, hang up on him. Oh, my gosh. They're good sports, man. They are great guys.
I laugh all day, every day. You know, even on the worst travel days when you have to take two flights and a rent a car, Eric still manages to make me laugh every day, whether he's trying to or not.
He's crazy. Yeah. I love him. He's crazy and he knows he's crazy.
I started working for the band when the rhythm section was Danny and Bobby, and Bobby used to wake up super early to go to breakfast every day, and then he would wake up Danny. Hey, Brecky. And then he'd go, yeah, I'll be right down, hang up the phone, go back to sleep. I just remember waiting for, like I called, Bobby was like, call Danny, we're going to go out, call Danny. I say, Danny, you want to go out with us? And he goes, yeah, I'll be right there, hangs up the phone, and I'm waiting there for like 45 minutes. I'm like, I don't think he's coming, Bobby.
You know, me and Danny actually did something with Donald for a while, just a three-piece.
The Buck Dharma Band.
Yeah, well, we actually put that together for that Ricky Browning. There was a child that had cancer,
right,
that passed away, but Donald had put this benefit together, and we went and played this, and it was pretty awesome. Just three piece. It's been a long time since I played three piece.
I was watching just last night YouTube clips of that. It sounded really good.
It's weird because BOC was definitely not written for a trio.
Right.
We had to do a lot of work filling it in, and to his credit, John sang a lot too, filled it in.
Yeah, I saw you with the headset mic.
Yeah, it was great.
That really did a lot.
It wouldn't be the same. No, it wouldn't be the same if he didn't.
Do you sing on a lot of your gigs or usually?
I used to. When I was with BOC, I was singing a lot of background.
Oh, wow.
And when I joined Meatloaf at first, they had me singing. Meatloaf wanted everyone singing. And I remember just going up to him and going, I don't know, you got Chasm, mm-hmm. Mark, Patty. Steve Buslow, you got all these great vocals. What do you want me making mud for, Let me just, let me be out of breath behind the drums. And he was cool with that, So I really haven't sang much since.
So let's do a BOC song. What do you guys think? Which one do you want to practice the one we're going to have to do 20 times today?
No, let's just do one. Okay. Isn't that what this is about?
Sure. Right.
Yeah.
How about Buck's Boogie?
Oh, okay.
I'm only kidding. I don't even know that. How about Burning for You?
Sure.
Hey, can I switch to this other bass? Or no?
Sure. You sure
all
can.
Right. All right, never mind.
Switch. Go ahead.
I think I was going to get added to
it. Go ahead.
Go ahead, switch, buddy.
No. Switch to bass. I want you to.
Actually, could you change the shorts, too?
And put some shoes on with socks.
Show my
Danny,
knob.
I will give you $50 if you do the rest of the show in your underwear.
I don't have underwear on, I'm telling you.
I'll give you $100 you do the rest of the show without those shorts then.
You know Flea played Woodstock naked?
Woodstock naked?
Yeah, he did. That Woodstock gig, he was naked.
That's not good.
You're going to have to take down the level on this.
I'm doing it right now. How's that sound, Danny?
possibly do a reggae vocal. All right. Can you hit that first? Yeah. I'm going to try to do a little toe tap in here.
I got it.
Can we record this? What?
Hey, Richie, I'm gonna take the low harmony.
Can you hit the F major chord omitted third?
Am I gonna hit the
on the end of
the four,
end of four, please? Oh, let's do little harmonies.
I'm living for giving.
This is what Andy does every week on Band Geek. He goes. Okay. I'm living for
Are you making fun of Geddy Lee?
So do you? Is that what? You, or would you guys rather switch parts?
Just tell me what to
say. I'll do the high part. You'll do the low part. You're okay. Doing the melody.
So I'm starting to get this. You're like the Howard Stern of the show, and he's like Robin.
He's Robin. You, and he's like Baba Booey.
I don't know who these people are. From the Howard Stern show.
What's this sound?
Anybody hear that noise?
Is that your guitar?
No, it's gone. You okay?
That was Howard Stern.
It was Howard Stern.
I hate my brother.
All right. Let's try.
It's cold as fuck.
No, let's just go with the vocals. Let's go with the vocals really quick. Let's go with the vocals really quick. The
Yeah.
Actually, let's do the chords because we have a lot of BOC fans listening to this. This starts off.
Right?
This starts off on. Stop being a jerk. This song starts off in an F major chord, and there's two guitar harmonies. One goes the one that Donald plays goes. And then the one that I usually play, or the Allen harmony, is. But I have my neat little Line 6. Pod HD 500 here, where I can go and do both of them. Then the there's a little lead and
was that an ad?
That was an ad.
That was an ad. What
was
that
an ad.
Actually?
A
pod.
It's a Pod HD 500.
Is that because it's a podcast? It's
line, exactly. That's why I use it.
It's a Line 6.
A Line 6 pod.
That's right. I was thinking about that while I was at Gino's Pizza on Ocean Avenue in Patchogue.
Oh, where were you?
Yeah, they're not going to give you a slice. No.
So what, Andy? You want to take it from here? What are the chords in the
They're tricky.
Okay, it's G, A minor, F, G.
But I'm playing like different
E minor,
voices.
F, D minor, G. That's the over there. That whole part. Now the verse is just A minor, E minor, D minor, F, G. Right? Are you looking at me like I'm saying it wrong? Is it right?
No.
All right. Repeat that.
E minor. D minor.
What? That's the verse.
And then
the
it
last
changes.
Time it goes to E minor at the end. So it's E minor, D minor, F, E minor. And then we have this, which is power chords. A power chord to a G sharp power chord.
Not
have
G.
To, what?
Not.
Yeah. It's not
sharp.
G. It's G sharp. G, F.
Commonly misheard.
Yeah. And then we have C. And then F. G, C. G, first inversion.
G with the B in the bass.
See what just happened there?
I did.
You're a jerk. Okay. A minor. D. C, first inversion. F, G, G. Then back to the M.
Are you really going to remember that?
Well, what someone told me what they do is when I spout out the chords, they write it down, and then they play along with the song. They jam with us while they listen to the podcast. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Oh.
Yeah. A lot of people learn songs from this show somehow.
Okay, so here's the beats, guys.
Yeah.
Actually,
if
it goes
you could
on the
play
ride.
It on the ride for the verse.
Here's how I would do it. I would be doing a little bit differently.
Here's a little trivia. Do you know...
Yeah, this is for you.
John just took off the ride and
are
handed it to
me. Are there any cookies
me.
On that thing?
No, but we got to make some bratwurst later. Oh,
yeah. Absolutely. We're talking about food again. I love this show.
Andy's a vegetarian.
We're
going to
turn this into
about?
A German train station.
Andy, you could hang out with my dog and chew on the grass outside. Seriously. Do you have erection problems because you don't eat meat? I heard that actually happens a lot to vegetarians. They have erection problems.
No, I'm
no
cool.
problem.
I'm cool.
Well, if that happens, call more ladies.
call more ladies.
I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. I don't know what I'm doing. Oh, a little trivia, Danny. You know, Donald played bass on this.
I knew that.
Wow.
Yes. And he used
a Music Man. A
Music Man bass.
So you should sound
Oh, my gosh.
Authentic.
This is starting to sound like... was that another ad?
From St. Louis Obispo.
I think California. They used sonar drums.
They used sonar drums,
Vader
they?
Sticks and Evans drum
and
head.
We're going to talk about that in a
they
second.
They were drinking
trust me.
Chock Full of Nuts coffee that day, I believe.
Yeah, Andy, make sure you get that first note on the Yamaha keyboard over there, the CS6X.
If you had a coffee, would you name it Chock Full of Nuts?
Now, that woman who used to sing the tune, I used to get really scared when I was a kid. And she freaked, she frightened
What's
me.
What's the tune?
Chock full of nuts is a done and coffee.
Oh, heavenly coffee.
Heavenly coffee. I used to freak the fuck, freak out.
You could curse.
No, man.
Kids,
you
want to
get the broadband of like 7-year-olds and 70.
They're not listening to me.
I'm not listening.
And they know more
the
curses.
7-year-olds are cursing more.
They know more curses than I do. All right. Here we go. Burden for You.
It's a song of hope.
I have to stop for a second.
No.
I was watching Anne-Marie conduct her high school choir, a Catholic school choir that she conducts, and they start doing a song. I think they were doing Under Pressure, right? And she goes, all right, we're going to do this last song. It's our finale. And she gets ready to conduct. She turns around to the microphone. She goes, Song of Hope. And she goes to conduct it, and I know she was doing a Danny Miranda.
It's contagious.
It's like a disease. It is. Are we rolling on that?
Yep.
Okay. Oh, Yeah.
And that's the name of that tune.
Whoa. That was really good. You guys play very well together. I don't know if you've heard that before.
That's the big one, man. That's the big one. Man. That's the Michelli one.
Well, that was fun. I haven't played that song in a while.
Yeah. Now, tonight we're playing that with your students.
Yeah.
Now.
They are so excited.
If you
They are. Wait till they see you guys.
How many times would you say we're doing this song?
22.
We're going to play Burn for You 22 times.
The best is,
it's more than
seriously,
this year.
There are some kids that are 6 years old and some that are 18.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah.
No, that's going to be cool. Yeah, I mean, that high G is going to be, it's going to start being annoying after a while, but whatever.
You don't have to sing it.
Andy will sing the high G for me. Yes, that's a high G.
No, that's a C.
No.
The high.
Home in the valley.
Just as the night goes, just keep detuning the guitar. Yes.
The harmonies, the C.
By the end of the night, it's going to go from A minor to E minor. So, it's going to be like, home in the valley.
Sound like a country song there. Like, yeah.
Home in the valley. Home in the city. If we have drummers listening tonight, I know we do. Let's talk about your rig.
Okay.
Like what you're using.
Sure.
Take us through it.
Sonar.
All right, guys, I'm going to stop it here. Next week, John's going to tell us about his rig, and we're going to play a fun game of food drumming. Tune in to figure out what the hell that is. Thanks for listening.